We are continuing our series on Bible. Bible, declaring the whole counsel of God. It's very essential for us to understand this important element of the Word of God, God's Word. Many times we don't understand the purpose why God has given 66 books of the Bible. We have some favorite books, favorite chapters, and we tend to focus only on that. And we sometimes don't understand some other books, some other chapters. So we just tend to leave it or keep questioning it and really not understanding why God has provided His Word for us. Paul the Apostle, as he was mentioning in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, he says, I did not stop declaring the whole counsel of God. Whole counsel of God, whole purpose of God. Why God has provided all these various incidents, or why the historical stories are mentioned in the scriptures. And it is very essential for us to understand those things as we continue the series on Bible. We have completed the book of Genesis and Job, and we are in the book of Exodus. We've completed 12 chapters of Exodus. And after that, we also completed up till 18th chapter as well last week. And today we are going to pick up from the 19th chapter of Exodus. So for today's scriptural portion, may I request each one of us to read along with me in the sermon notes. Also, it is there, or you could read it as it is projected. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 21, all together, please. For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to a darkness and gloom and a whirlwind, and to the blast of a trumpet and the sound of the words, which sound was such that those who heard begged that no further word be spoken to them. For they could not bear the command, if even a beast touches the mountain, it will be stoned. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I am full of fear and trembling. In the past few weeks that we have meditated upon, from Exodus chapter 1 to 18, we had termed or titled chapters 1 to 18 as Egypt to Sinai, Egypt to Mount Sinai. And during the course of the period, how people came out of the land of Egypt, how they crossed the Red Sea, how they passed through the wilderness of Shur, wilderness of Sin, and into the wilderness of Sinai. Where the Mount Sinai is. Mount Sinai is in the wilderness of Sinai. Just as a recap of what we have looked into, the slavery in Egypt, is considered as bondage. Just like the people of Israel were in slavery in the land of Egypt, you and I are in slavery or bondage to sin that so easily entangles us. Such was the life of the people of Israel. So chapters 1 to 11, people of Israel went through so much of bondage, and how God used Moses in order to be able to let his people come out of the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh did not. And so there were multiple plagues, 10 plagues, and the 10th plague was the Passover lamb, where there was a redemption. God redeemed the people of Israel from the slavery of Egypt. So that is recorded in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 13. Redemption or salvation. And God wants to save us from sin. And He came down into this world as Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus means the one who saves us from our sins. The bondage to sin. And that Exodus chapter 12 and 13 reminds us of the sacrifice of Lord Jesus Christ, who is also called the Passover Lamb. So how the counsel of God is being shown throughout the scriptures, including the book of Exodus as well. And then, after understanding that we are in bondage of sin, and Christ has redeemed me from the sinful nature by shedding His precious blood on the cross of Calvary, these people of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, and the first stop that they have made was in front of the Red Sea. And the Egyptians were behind the Israelites, trying to say, how could we leave them? Let's go back and pull them back. But these people, they relied on God, and God made a way where there seemed to be no way. And he said, once you are saved, you have to move forward. No turning back, because I am the one who is going to be with you. My presence is going to be with you. And that is what the crossing of Red Sea is. The Bible says in the New Testament that crossing of Red Sea symbolizes baptism. To tell forth that God is the one who brought us out of the land of Egypt by redeeming us through the blood of the Lamb and enabled us to take the immediate step of crossing the Red Sea, or in other words, to witness in water baptism. That's recorded in Exodus chapter 14 and 15, the first part of it. And after they cross the Red Sea, that is where their experiences begin, wilderness experience. That is where sanctification, God not only saves us, not only enables us to witness in water baptism, but also wants to sanctify us. From Exodus chapter 15, the second half onwards, almost till the end of the book of Exodus, it reminds us of the wilderness experience, especially at Mount Sinai. If you see this map that is there here, here you see the people of Israel were in Egypt, in the bondage of Egypt, and they come out and they go through the Red Sea crossing, and then they stop at Mara in the wilderness of Shur, and wilderness of and then they come to Elim, and then the wilderness of Sin, and then here is the wilderness of Sinai where the Mount Sinai is. So their travel was going down and then up. Instead of going the easy way or the way of the world, God let them go through the wilderness experience. In our Christian life as well, when God saves us, when God redeems us and enables us to witness in the water baptism, there are situations when we go through troubled times, when we go through difficult times, when we go through wilderness experience in our lives. But God is teaching us lessons over and over and over again. And that is what we see, that they pass through from here all the way down to Mount Sinai and they spend some time here at Mount Sinai. And that is what the remaining portion of Exodus is. The remaining portion of Exodus, from Exodus chapter 19 all the way till 40, is recorded at Mount Sinai. The place where God's presence was and where God was giving his word and his law that was given to the people of Israel through Moses. Today we are going to look at few chapters from chapter 19. Chapter 19 to chapter 24. Chapter 19 to chapter 24. Have your Bibles open, please. If you need a Bible, please raise your hand. We'll pass on a Bible to you. It's important for us to look into the Word of God, because God's Word makes a transformation in our lives. Please do not get distracted here and there, but let us focus on the Word of God. Exodus chapter 19 and verse 1, it says, in the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt. Keep your finger here in Exodus chapter 19 and let us look at what is this first month. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12 verse 2. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. This month shall be the beginning of months for you. It will be the first month of the year to you. This particular Exodus chapter 12 is the beginning of a new calendar in the life of the people of Israel. The Hebrew calendar began with this particular chapter, Exodus chapter 12, which is a redemptive chapter. The chapter where the Passover lamb was sacrificed. The year or the beginning of a new life, even in a Christian life, the moment we realize that Christ died for me on the cross of Calvary for my sins' sake, I go through that experience of salvation, and that is the beginning of my Christian life. So that is the first month, Exodus chapter 12 and verse 2. And then if you go to Exodus chapter 15, actually chapter 16, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. Please look at it. Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. This is the second month, 15th day. On the 14th day of the first month is a Passover lamb. 15th day of the second month is when they are in the wilderness of Sin, where you see the manna experience. That is the second month. So they were in the way. While they were coming down, 1 month has passed by. When they were in the land, in the place where they had from Elim to Rephidim, by the time they reached here, they have passed 1 month. They were in the second month. And now we see in Exodus chapter 19, in the third month, verse 1. First month, Exodus chapter 12. Second month, Exodus chapter 16. Third month, Exodus chapter 19. 3 months have passed by. Or in other words, actually 2 months and a portion of the third month. They are in the third month. Which day is it? It is not recorded. But it is in the third month. So from the Passover onwards to the third month, Passover is the first month, and towards the third month, most likely it would have been around 7 weeks. Most likely it would have been 7 weeks or 50 days from the time of Passover. From the time of Exodus chapter 12 to Exodus chapter 19, where God meets them at Mount Sinai, is 50 days. Later, that 50th day from Passover is called Pentecost. Probably you know that. The word Pentecost is 50th day from the Passover. So Exodus chapter 19, in the third month after the people came out of the land of Egypt, is around 50 days from Passover. So this was an incident that could be related to a Pentecost incident. If you see Acts chapter 2, where on the day of Pentecost something has happened, and we can try to relate the New Testament story of Pentecost to Exodus chapter 19. And we will look at that from the scriptures as to what we can see. At that time, Pentecost was not recognized, but it was around 50th day. According to the Jewish historical understanding, this happened during the 50th day plus or minus. So with that background, I want us to look at Exodus chapter 19. Listen to this carefully, my dear. It's very important for us to know that there is something that is happening here. When God told Moses that I'm going to send you at the burning bush, he tells Moses, I'm going to send you to the land of Egypt, bring my people. You will serve me on this mountain, God says. The same place where the burning bush incident happened, now God has brought these people at the foot of the hill of the mountain of Sinai. Now the story continues. God is a God, when he promises, who he fulfills as well. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, God said, I will certainly be with you. This will be a sign that when I have sent you to bring my people back, you will serve me on this mountain. So we have a God, when he opens his word and says something, he is not only a promise giving, but also a promise fulfilling God. Remember that. Many times we don't realize it. We tend to question God about his promises, but we have a God whose promises never fail, my dear. And this is one of the incidents we can say that God brought Moses along with his people to Mount Sinai. And now we see in verse 2, Exodus 19:2, when they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain. So there is a mountain. There is going to be some experience. They are going to stay there for some time at this mountain. And we see here from verse 3 onwards, Moses going onto the top of the mountain. Moses did not climb only once. Moses climbed multiple times on Mount Sinai. He was an 80-year-old man. But God gave him strength to climb up the mountain, come down from the mountain, climb up the mountain, come down from the mountain. We are going to see how many times God made Moses climb onto the mountain. God could come down, but God made Moses come up to the mountain. God wants obedience from his people. Moses could have said, oh God, what to do? I'm so tired. I'll stay here. If it is in the present day world, oh, I'm so tired. I'll stay at home. I'll switch on some streaming, live streaming. I'll follow what is going on. Sometimes we become so lazy in our lives that we are taking options for ourselves for the sake of convenience. But Moses was a man of God. Moses climbed Mount Sinai multiple times. He never did I see when I was reading through the scriptures that he was feeling so tired. He was feeling as a complaint saying that, oh, this is too far, Lord. How many times should I go? No. For him, the presence of God and to be able to get word of God is more important, my dear. Something to be able to note. Moses, first time we see here in verse 3, Moses went up to God. Went up to God. Very important. And the Lord called to him from the mountain. You see that? You see the way in which God is asking Moses to come up to the mountain. And Moses went up to the mountain. And then God says, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and to the sons of Israel. Notice this verse 4. Verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians. It is not about Moses. Moses is not getting the credit for bringing the people out of the land of Egypt. God is saying, you have seen, verse 4, what I did to the Egyptians. How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. How I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. It is all the work of God. God can use people. But when it comes to knowing the fact, it is God who used people. I was the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I bore you on eagle's wings. So many people out of the way in which the eagle carries her young on its wings. That is how God brought these people safely out of the land of Egypt. What a flight experience it is. Flying experience, in other words, how God carefully brought the people out of the land of Egypt, even through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, providing them manna, providing them water, in spite of the murmurings and grumblings of the people, God brought them. So two words that I can see here in verse 4. I bore you on eagle's wings. I brought you to myself. It is God's work. When we understand that we were in bondage and we were brought out of the bondage of sin in our lives, it is not giving credit to human beings. God could have used someone to share the word of God, but that is not what makes that person great. It is God who has used that person as a vessel. That's all. Moses is not getting a credit here. God gets the credit, my dear. It's very important. Many times we go after people. But God is saying, I was the one who bore you. I was the one who brought you. Give glory to God, my dear. Give glory to God. And verse 5. Now that I brought you to myself, the place where I told Moses on Mount Sinai at the burning bush, now Moses has come back to the same place where God gave him the commission. He came back. And now you see in verse 5. Now then, indeed, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among the people, for all the earth is mine. If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant. I want us to focus on one word, which is called covenant. Berith in Hebrew. A covenant is an agreement. A covenant is an agreement between two parties. Noahic covenant, where God said, I will not destroy the earth again with flood, with water. God made that covenant with Noah. It was one-on-one. And then, in the book, same book of Genesis, God made a covenant with Abraham. He established it with Isaac and confirmed with Jacob. The covenant that he made was individual. To individual, he said, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing. I'll give you the land. He told to the individuals. So Noahic covenant, Abrahamic covenant. Now comes Mosaic covenant. In this Mosaic covenant, there is a difference that you can see. To Noah and Abraham, it was an unconditional covenant. I will do this, period. He made a covenant. He gives the covenant and he fulfills it. That's all he said. I will bless you. I'll make you a great nation. I'll give you this land. Your descendants will occupy the land. That is how he told Abraham. But when it came to this covenant, God made with the nation of Israel. A people. God with people. Not one person. It is God with his people. And he made a covenant, and this covenant is not an unconditional one, it is a conditional covenant. Conditional covenant. What is a conditional covenant? Those of us who are in the software field, you might know what it means to put conditional statements. What are the conditional statements? If, then, else, case statements. Different ways in which you put conditions, right? So this covenant that God made, he says here in verse 5, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, if, notice the word if. So note it down, the first thing here in your sermon notes is the condition of the covenant. Condition of the covenant. What is the condition that God gave in the covenant that he established with the people of Israel, also called the Mosaic Covenant? Moses, during the time of Moses, there was a covenant that is called Mosaic Covenant. And in this condition of the covenant, please note down the points under it. If you obey and keep, if, then you will be my possession. You will be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you need to speak to the people of Israel. That's what he said. If you obey and keep, then you will be my possession, the kingdom of priests and holy nation. There is a condition here. This covenant that God made with the people of Israel was a conditional covenant, something that you and I need to recognize here, especially with the words that are here, if and then. Verse 7. So Moses came and called the elders of the people. So what does it mean? Moses came down of the down from the mountain. So this was the first trip. He went up to the mountain, verse 3, and he came down from the mountain, verse 7. He came down and called the elders of the people and said before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. What did the Lord command him? If you will obey all that my voice and keep my covenant. These are the things. You obey and keep. Obedience. God is looking for people who obey. Moses was obeying. He was going up and down, up and down. But Moses was like a mediator between God and man. And then we see here, Moses brought the word of God to people. That is the job of a prophet. Job of a prophet is to bring the word of God to people. So Moses went up to the mountain, got the word of God. He came down from the mountain and he told the people, this is what it is. In verse 7, Moses called the people of people and told. Verse 8, notice this carefully. All the people answered together and said, shall we all read this together? All that the Lord had spoken, we will do. All that the Lord had spoken, we will do. Notice the way in which immediately God said, if you obey and keep my commandment, you will be my possession. You will be kingdom of priests. You will be a holy nation. This is what my covenant is. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you willing? What did the people say? All the people said, all that the Lord had spoken, we will do. So notice this, please write it down, the third point. Initial agreement, we will do. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Notice the way in which there is a covenant establishment that is happening. More than a contract, it is a covenant. Sometimes people consider marriage as a contract, but it is a covenant. It is a covenant between two people, husband and wife. And there is one standing in between saying, would you take him as your wedded husband? Would you take her as your wedded wife? I do. I do. These are the words in which they respond. We will do. You see that? You see the covenant that is established? It's like an initial that they put. Initially, okay. Okay, that's fine. Whatever the God says, we'll do. That was the starting of the covenant. Condition. Initiation of the covenant. Are you willing to? Yes, Lord, we will do. All that the Lord has said, we will do. Verse 8, second part. And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Verse 8, second part. Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. Moses brought the words of God to the people. Now, Moses is taking the words of the people to God. You see that? Prophet's job is to get the word of God to the people. Priest's job is to take the words of the people and take to God. So Moses was both a prophet and a priest. He's acting like a prophet and a priest. Prophet from God to people. Priest from people to God. That is the job of the priest. Priest takes, oh, you want me to pray for you? I'll pray for you. I will take it. That is how the Old Testament was. So now he went back to the Lord. So this chapter, verse 8, tells that he had a second visit to the mountain. He climbed up the mountain again because he had to speak to the Lord. And now verse 9, the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe in you forever. I will come down. For making a covenant, he had to come down. Not only people, he first got a response from the people, we will do. Then God said, okay, I'll come down. You need a witness, right, for a covenant? I will come down. You see that? The covenant of God that he's establishing with his people. The moment the people said, all that the Lord will say, we will do, God said, I will come down. Verse 9, I will come to you. God coming down, not just the voice of God, but God himself coming down so that people may hear what I'm speaking. Verse 10, the Lord also said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. So notice the second portion of this covenant is not only the condition of the covenant, but also the consecration of the covenant from Exodus chapter 19, verses 8 to 25. On the bottom, if you see here, I'm putting the references for you for future referencing and personal study of the Word of God. Exodus chapter 19, verses 8 to 25, talks about the consecration for the covenant. Condition of the covenant is, if you will obey and keep my covenant, then you will be my people. And then, the consecration, now you have to prepare yourself for the covenant. Preparation is necessary, not just telling it out. You need to prepare yourself. So that is why he says in verse 10, consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their garments. Now note down the first point, sanctify and wash. Consecrate or sanctify or purify. God is saying, you need to sanctify. You need to cleanse yourselves. When you are going to make a covenant with me, you need to have yourselves cleansed inside out. You need to know what it means to come and meet with me. You need to cleanse your hearts. Ask the Lord to cleanse you. Purify your heart. Let me share with you, my dear brothers and sisters. The heart is deceitful above all. The heart is one which from where the evil thinking begins with. It's a heart attitude. God is saying you need to cleanse yourself, consecrate, sanctify, purify your heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit with me, as David said. Consecrate yourselves today and tomorrow. God is giving today and tomorrow in order to be able to consecrate yourself. And he says, wash your garments. Be clean. Be clean inside out, not outside only. Not just saying that, oh, I need to. Yes, you have to be clean when you come to into the presence of God. You need to wash yourselves. Washed inside out. Very important. As you keep washing your inside, automatically outside will be taken care of. Wash your garments. You need to know how to present yourself in the sight of God. You need to present yourself, not coming casually, but to be able to know that I am in a covenant with my God. And then in verse 11, he says, let them be ready for the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people on the third day. Today and tomorrow, you consecrate yourselves, wash your garments, make yourself ready. Because on the third day, the Lord is going to come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. People are going to witness. This covenant that God is going to establish with his people, where God himself is coming down. And then he says, verse 11, be ready. Please note it down. Be ready to meet your God. Recently we have meditated upon, prepare yourself to meet your God. How to prepare yourself? You need to consecrate yourself. Be ready to meet God. When you are coming to church, it's a symbolism of how it was in the Old Testament times as well. In order to come and meet God, how well are you prepared? Sometimes Saturday night itself is a day of preparation in order to meet your God, to cleanse yourself. So say, Lord, I want to come and be with you in the presence of all the people. Yes, God is there wherever you are. No doubt about it. I'm not denying it. But there is a day when we come together as a congregation of people and we prepare ourselves. Sometimes we are never prepared. We just come like that. But God is saying, be ready to meet your God. And ultimately, you will meet God face to face in eternity. When we leave this world, when our last day comes on this earth, are we prepared to meet God? And then, verse 12, you shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, beware that you do not go up onto the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. No hand shall touch him, but he shall be surely stoned or shot with, whether beast or man, he shall not live. It is a terrible thing to be able to be in the presence of the living God at the foot of the mountain itself. Forget about being on the mountain. Do we take the presence of God seriously? Third point, please note it down. Beware you touch. Beware. That is how it was. God showing forth his nature that he's a holy God. You just cannot come into his presence. That is how it was in the Old Testament. That was a Mount Sinai experience where God is saying, you consecrate yourselves. Be ready, beware, and be clean. And now you see in verse 14, Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people, and they washed themselves. Verse 16, so it came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning and flashing and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound. Now you see here that the Lord, as he said, on the third day I'm going to come, he came. He came on the third day to be able to establish his covenant with the people of Israel, Mosaic covenant, a conditional covenant. Moses brought the people out of the land of Egypt. Verse 17. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. He brought the people out of the camp to meet God. Come. This is the place now. The time has come. The Lord has come down on Mount Sinai. You are going to meet God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. That's it. Verse 17. And now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire and its smoke ascended like smoke of a furnace. The whole mountain quaked violently. That was a kind of an experience of Mount Sinai. Verse 20, the Lord came down on Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Third visit. You see that? Verse 3, first visit. Verse 8, second visit to the mountain. And then in verse 20, the third visit, in one chapter, three times Moses had to climb up the mountain, but without any complaint, because he knew what it means to be in the presence of God. How wonderful it is, my dear. And then God says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, go down, warn the people that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves. And then verse 24, the Lord said to him, go down and come up again. Go down and come up again. What a mountaineer he was. Moses, a mountaineer, if I may. He was climbing up the mountain, getting down the mountain, climbing up the mountain, getting down the mountain. When was the last time did you do any trekking? Going up the mountain, coming down, it's so difficult. Once itself, it's difficult. Sometimes to go in the gym and take the steps, the kind of a steps, oh, it's so tiring. Even at home also, to take, oh, one time only I'll go upstairs and come down sometimes. Oh, can you go get something from upstairs? That is the kind of way in which we become lazy. But Word of God says here that when you are in the presence of God, when God tells you to go down, you go down. When God tells you to come up, you come up. How many times? 3 times it's already recorded here that Moses went up and down the mountain. And the mountain was not a small, insignificant thing. Somebody tried to do a painting of it. This is how it is. The painting of it in 1800s, somebody did it, Jean Leon Jerome, the Israelites at Mount Sinai. The terrible experience, it is not a small hill for him to go and come back, go and come back. It is some top of the mountain, one of the big mountains there, Mount Sinai. That was the experience that Moses had, and people of Israel witnessed it. Moses came down. 3 visits have happened in Exodus chapter 19. And now comes Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and Exodus chapter... Let us look at it. Exodus chapter 20 onwards to Exodus chapter 23 now. We are going to breeze through this, chapters 20 to 23. So please put the title of the third one here. Content of the covenant. Condition of the covenant. Consecration of the for the covenant. And then content of the covenant. Now the actual content is going to be there as part of the covenant that God is establishing. What a wonderful way in which we can see. First, initial agreement had to be happening. And according to that agreement, they said, we will do whatever God says. Then God says, consecrate yourself. So they consecrated themselves. Now, they have come to the foot of the mountain. God came down onto the top of the mountain. Now, both the parties are there to create a covenant, to make an agreement. Now, the mediator, Moses, goes. I mean, actually, in chapter 20, people were hearing God's word. Moses was here in chapter 20. Chapter 20, verses 1 all the way till 17. They are famously called the Ten Commandments. They are, in other words, if I may, the top 10 commandments. Because there are many more commandments. If you were to put top 10, you know, most of the times songs also top 10 songs. Top 10 this, top 10 this. Why? Because the others don't mean that they are not commandments. They are the commandments of God. But these are the top 10 commandments. That's why they are called 10 commandments. God gave Exodus chapter 20. Now God's voice was being heard. Moses was there at the foot of the mountain. People were there at the foot of the mountain. God was there on the top of the mountain. A voice was coming down. The voice that was coming down was the first words, the content of the covenant is the 10 commandments. I just put this so that you might understand what exactly these 10 commandments are. The first 4 commandments, as it is recorded in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, all the way till verse 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 to 11 is the first 4 commandments. Shall we all read this together, please, on the left? Do not worship any other gods. Do not make any idols. Do not misuse the name of God. Keep the Sabbath holy. These are the 4 commandments that relate directly to God in your relationship with God. Do not worship any other gods. You have a God who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't make any other gods. Don't make any idols. In other words, do not misuse the name of God. Don't use the name of God in vain. The Jehovah God. That is why the people, Jewish people, they cannot pronounce Yahweh. Instead, they said, we'll call him Adonai, Lord. Because it is a sacred name. How can I misuse the name of God? That Jehovah came down in the form of a human being. That Jehovah saves is called Jesus. And nowadays, people misuse the name of Jesus terribly. When they are frightened, when they want to curse, they use the name of Jesus. What a terrible thing it is. Sometimes they're shortening it and saying, geez. G. What is it? Misusing the name of God. Be careful, my dear. Be very careful. Never ever misuse the name of God. He is the Jehovah God. Jehovah saves is Jesus. Do not misuse the name of God. These are the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath holy in terms of being able to give reverence to God who created the entire universe on the seventh day. He rested. In terms of giving the priority to God. And in the New Testament, the Sabbath, Jesus Christ is the Lord of Sabbath. So you give importance to the Lord of Sabbath and give importance to what he has done on the resurrection day. And that is why on a Sunday we gather together. Those are the four in terms of the relationship with God. And now relationship with man. Honor your father and mother. This is a commandment with a promise. It says, honor your father and mother so that your days may be prolonged in the day in the land in which your Lord gives you honor. How many times nowadays we don't see the children honoring their parents the way they should? Important, my dear. These are the commandments of God. Honor your father and mother. You will see a difference. No matter what. Maybe there are certain things you may not like about them. Still honor them. Give honor to your parents. It's no point in honoring them after they pass away from this world. More important, while they are here on this earth, honor them. That is what makes a difference. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. Do not covet what others have. Jesus Christ explains this wonderfully on the Sermon on the Mount. While this was done on the Mount Sinai, Jesus explains in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, he describes each one of them. He says, do not murder, but if you are angry with someone, you are already committed murder in your heart. Do not commit adultery, but if you look at a person lustfully, you have already committed adultery in your heart. How Jesus explains this wonderfully in Matthew chapter 5 to 7. Read it. He explains the Ten Commandments. The spirit behind the Ten Commandments. And that is very essential, my dear. For us to understand. Somebody was asked this question. Which can you name first? The commandments found in Exodus chapter 20 or the ingredients of a Big Mac burger from McDonald's? Can you tell the Ten Commandments or can you tell the ingredients of the Big Mac burger at McDonald's? Most Americans, when surveyed, did a better job naming the seven ingredients of a Big Mac. Two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Huh? People know the ingredients of a Big Mac. 80% knew about the all-beef patties, but only 60% recognized do not kill. They did not know. Do not murder is one of the Ten Commandments. But 80% knew that it's an all-beef patty. Big Mac means all-beef patty. Only 45% knew honor your father and mother. 34% knew remember the Sabbath day. And only 29% recognized do not make yourself an idol. Very few people don't even know the contents of the Ten Commandments. They know Ten Commandments. They know the movie Ten Commandments. But they don't know the contents of the Ten Commandments. What a tragic it is. Do you know, now that it is displayed, do you recognize how God is so serious about his relationship with his people? How we need to relate to God, the first four commandments, how we need to relate to each other as human beings, vertical relationship and horizontal relationships. That is what the cross is. God made sure that you have the first things first, your relationship with God. And don't neglect your relationship with people. A lot of people say, I have a good relationship with God, but people, it's very difficult for us to handle. Let me tell you, God's intention is no matter what, have that relationship with God and relation with people. That is very essential, my dear. Now let's move on to the second part of the content of the covenant, which is the personal and property rights. Wow. Most of the law that was, the constitution that was established on American ground, the early fathers, when they made a constitution, they used Bible as a source for them to create the law of the land. But over a period of time, it got so changed over a period of time, amendments had happened, that it is quite different from what it was originally planned. Personal and property rights, if somebody takes this away from you, this is how you have to do. If somebody hurts you, this is what you have to do. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, because whatever the person has done damage to you, you have to restitute the same equally. Equal, the rights-wise, in terms of your relationship. That is how it was. It was a judgment, not a grace. If you have done something wrong, you have to go through punishment, the capital punishment. Personal and property rights. How, you know, if somebody takes away your ox, takes it for, as a loan, and suddenly that ox dies, what you should do? Many, many things that are mentioned in Exodus chapter 21, 22, and 23. And in 23, he also mentions about what will happen when you go to the land that you are going to occupy, the promise of the land. In his content of the covenant, God told how he is going to give the land to them. Let me tell you, when I was reading it, I was so thankful to God that it is God who is doing it. Though we are making a covenant with God, it is God's doing. So here you see Exodus chapter 23. Notice this little things, but make a lot of impact here. Chapter 23 and verse 20. Behold, I am going to send an angel before you to guard you along the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Wow. God is sending an angel before us to guard us along the way to bring you into the place which I have prepared you. Such is a God we have. He will not leave us. His presence is with us. Not only the pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night, but I'll send you my angel. An angel before you, the angel of the Lord, is a representation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. The angel of the Lord. In the Old Testament, God provided, he prepared a place for them, and he sent his angel to take them to the place of the promised land. What a wonderful experience that is. This verse 20 really made me recognize, who is this angel? Who is this angel that God has sent before? Verse 21, be on your guard before him and obey his voice. Do not be rebellious towards him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, since my name is in him. What a wonderful way in which God is saying, my angel that I'm going to send to you will take you all the way to the place that I have prepared for you. Listen to him on the way, because my name is in him. God himself. He is the one who is coming along. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is a representation of Jesus Christ, not in human form, but in the form of an angel. He will give you, he will guard you, he will go before you. My name is in him. Not a regular angel like Gabriel or Michael. This is a special angel. My name is in him. What a wonderful God we have. And then, verse 22, if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. You truly obey his voice. On the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father tells to the disciples, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament also, God was telling the similar kind of story, my dear. And that is how he said that he will bring these people. In verse 32, you shall make no covenant with the enemies or with their gods. And slowly and steadily I'm going to drive them out. Verse 30, I will drive them out before you little by little until you become fruitful and take possession of the land. You will slowly occupy the land. It's not that you will just jump in and get it. I am going to make you take year after year, little by little. God teaches us lessons. Throughout our journey of our life, He is teaching us lessons. And that is how the content of the covenant is. You can go back to your homes and read it wonderfully. God brings forth amazing things, including the feasts that we need to follow. Last Sunday, we have meditated upon the three feasts. Those three feasts are also mentioned in chapter 23 and verse 14. Now, the final thing that you and I need to note it down is the confirmation of the covenant. Please note it down. The confirmation of the covenant, Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 11. Confirmation of the covenant. Verse 1. Now you see, the fourth time again, Lord said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and you should worship at a distance. Moses alone, however, shall come near to the Lord. They shall come not. And Moses came and recounted to the people all the words of the Lord and the ordinances and all the people. This is the fourth time that is mentioned where God said, come up to the Lord or come up to the mountain. And then Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. Verse 4, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. He arose early in the morning and he built an altar. And we see here, he took burnt offering, verse 6. He took half of the blood and put it in the basins. Verse 7, notice this carefully. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. So note it down. In the confirmation of the covenant, book of the covenant, verse 7. He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. He wrote down everything in verse 4. And he took that and said, this is the covenant that is a written covenant. It is not just spoken covenant. It is a written covenant, a book of the covenant. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. People, whatever God said in Exodus chapter 20 to verse 20, chapter 20 to 23, I have written it down. I am reading it over again to you. So he read it. Notice this, verse 7. What did people say? And they said, all that the Lord had spoken, we will do and we will be obedient. All that the Lord had spoken, we will do and we will be obedient. Moses took the blood, verse 8, and sprinkled on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you in accordance to these words. Note down the second one. The confirmation of the covenant, the final signatures of the covenant, or the sign of the covenant, is the book of the covenant being read aloud and the blood of the covenant that is sprinkled along. He sprinkled the blood on the altar, verse 6. And also he said, behold the blood of the covenant. That is the sign of the covenant. Noahic covenant, the sign was rainbow. Abrahamic covenant, the sign was circumcision. Mosaic covenant, the sign was blood. Blood of the covenant. The blood that was put around the doorpost. It is the blood. What does blood signify? Blood signifies life. And the blood also signifies that somebody has given his life for us. The blood. It is not donation of blood. Giving till the last drop. The Old Testament was with blood. The New Testament also is with the blood. The blood of the covenant. So the Mosaic covenant is very similar to the new covenant in terms of the sign of the covenant, which is the blood of Jesus Christ. He shed his precious blood. And one of the soldiers, when he tried to poke him on the side, there was no more blood. Water came out. That was the blood that Jesus shed for you and I. In other words, he gave his life for you. The blood of the covenant. Whole purpose of God is revealed from the Old Testament. And the final agreement, I have read it already in verse 7, note it down. The final agreement, initial agreement, we will do. Final agreement, we will do and be obedient. You know, God is expecting a response from his people. When he's saying, I'll send my angel before you to guard you, to take you to the prepared land and all that, He said, the blood of the covenant that I have will be a sign for you. I'm going to put that sign on this particular, the blood of the covenant from God and from the people. They said, we will do and be obedient. And we will stop there at Exodus chapter 24 and verse 11. Four different times we notice that Moses went up and down. There could be more, in other words. We don't know, but at least we see that it is recorded multiple times that Moses went up the mountain, came down the mountain in order to bring the word of God to the people of God. What a wonderful experience that is, my dear. Today I want to ask you this question. God wants to make a covenant with you. He's telling, it is not like the covenant at the Mount Sinai, but it is at the covenant at Mount Zion. Hebrews chapter 12 says that. The covenant that I'm going to establish at Mount Zion is a covenant of grace. I will be the one who will take all the responsibility and of writing my law into your hearts. That is the new covenant. All he's saying is, what is your response? Can you respond saying, yes, Lord, I do. We will do. I'm not asking whether you're attending a church regularly. I'm not asking whether you know who this Jesus is. I'm asking you, do you know him personally? Do you believe that he has come into this world to die for you and shed his precious blood for you in order to give his life for you as a sign of his covenant with you? Otherwise, the time has come, my dear, for you to open your heart and receive Jesus Christ into your heart. The experience of the covenant at Mount Sinai can be your experience today, where God is saying, I have come and did everything for you. What is your response? What is your initial response? What is your final response? Are you shying away? Oh, I'm just attending church. Oh, I don't want to take a commitment towards God. Sorry. No, sorry. God is expecting you to respond. Your response is essential in taking forward. May the Lord bless this word. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, let us reflect upon what we have heard today, my dear. Please do not go here and there. Stay where you are. Maybe you have heard about the Ten Commandments. Maybe you have heard about the story at Mount Sinai. But I hope you have learned something new today about the covenant that God has established with his people. God is waiting to hear a response from you. The people of Israel said, we will do. We will obey God's commandments. But the people of Israel disobeyed. And they went through so much of trouble in their life because it was a conditional covenant. Later, through Jesus Christ, God established a new covenant. And that new covenant is where God did everything, including writing down his law on our hearts so that we may not turn away from him. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 40 is that new covenant. I'll establish. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. I will not turn away from doing them good. We have a God who writes his word on our hearts so that we will not turn away from him as well. Is there anyone here, sitting here, who have heard about this Jesus but never made a commitment to receive Jesus into his hearts? I'm asking you now, my dear. If you are listening to what I'm saying, maybe the Lord wants to open your heart so that you may receive him into your heart. How long will you run away from him? How long will you escape yourself? The time has come for you to say, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this out of my own. I need your help. You have shed your precious blood for me on the cross so that I may have the gift of eternal life. All that God is expecting you is to believe, nothing else. Not even to do anything. Just believe in a God who is ready to do the work in you. He will perform his work in you even to obey the word of God. All you need to do is believe in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's all. Believe. My dear, won't you believe in him? You might say, oh brother, I'm too young. Oh brother, I'm too old. Doesn't matter what your age is. God is looking for people who are genuine, who want to open their hearts towards Christ. If there is anyone sitting here, if you want to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, just raise your hand once and lower it. You don't need to be embarrassed in all the situations. Just raise your hand and say, I want Jesus. I need Jesus. Anyone? You need Christ, my dear. You cannot go living your life by your own. He will help you follow the Ten Commandments. You don't need to strive yourself. He will put his spirit in you so that you may obey his word. Anyone? May the Lord bless you, my dear. Take that commitment. Maybe you may not have another chance. Before it's too late, make that commitment to receive Christ in you. Anything can happen to us. There's no guarantee of earthly life, but there is a full guarantee of eternal life. Accept Jesus Christ while there is an opportunity. Do not delay. Satan is ready to keep telling you, not now, not now, not now. Don't raise your hand. But the Spirit of the Lord is telling you, time has come. Who are you going to listen? Satan? No. Maybe tomorrow, maybe day after tomorrow, maybe next week. Who knows what will happen to you? While there is an opportunity, my dear, receive Christ into your heart. With a repentant heart, humble yourself and say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I want to receive you as my personal Savior and Lord. I believe in you. That's all matters, my dear. He's one who is ready to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive him as your Savior. Receive him. If you want to come and talk to me, you can come and talk and share your personal experience. If you have any questions, we can answer you those questions. But how long will you wait? How long? You don't need to find all the answers, because not all of us have all the answers. All we do is believe in this God who has the answers. He will reveal himself to you.